Hi, this is Winners Chapel International, New York. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and motivates you. Please make sure you subscribe to get new messages every week. Enjoy the message.
Father, we appreciate you tonight. You are God all by yourself. You are H to H. The God who is, who was, and is to come. Your children have come tonight to celebrate you. Your children have come tonight to worship you. We call you Abba Father, the God who is, who was, and is to come. We celebrate you tonight. Thank you for all that you have been doing. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the grace of election to be called your own. We are not taking you for granted tonight, Lord. Everlasting Father, have your way in our midst. Holy Spirit, we surrender us totally and absolutely under the authority of your power. Lord, manifest yourself in our midst tonight. Speak your word to everyone connected to this service. Father, we give you the glory. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. Praise the Lord. I'd like to acknowledge my Father and appreciate God tonight for the privilege to bring to us God's precious word in this midweek communion service. And the privilege was given by our Father, his servant, our resident pastor. I want to appreciate you, sir. The Lord will continue to increase you in wisdom and in unction in the name of Jesus. And I want to assure you tonight that the same grace at work in his life, the same grace at work in this commission, will speak favor into your life tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, tonight glorify yourself in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome to church. Breakthrough is my heritage in Christ. That is our prophetic focus for this month. Breakthrough is my heritage in Christ. And all through our midweek services this month of October, our teaching series is titled Engaging the Master Key to Supernatural Breakthrough. Engaging the Master Key to Supernatural Breakthrough. What is breakthrough? Breakthrough simply means making progress in spite of oppositions and hatred. What is breakthrough? Breakthrough means breaking through, advancing in spite of adversity. In spite of the adversities around you, you are still making advances. That is what breakthrough is. What else can we define as breakthrough? Breakthrough is succeeding in unfavorable situations or circumstances. The situation naturally does not look favorable. The circumstances around you does not look like it, yet you are succeeding. That is what breakthrough is. And our anchor scripture is Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. Romans and chapter 8, verse 28. The Bible says, and we know, somebody say we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God. All things, somebody say all things. The Bible didn't say some things. It said all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. There are examples of men in the scripture who enjoyed breakthrough despite opposition. One of such men is Joseph. There were opposition on his way to his destiny. Countless opposition, including from the members of his own family. They stood in his way because God had shown them a vision that he shared with them. They sold him into slavery, yet it was working for his good. The slave, the people who bought him, sold him again. It was working for his good. They put him in prison. It was working for his good. As long as you are a lover of God, all things work together for your good. Things may appear negative.
that seems to be working against you, can I tell you the truth? They are actually working for your good. I said they are working for your good. But until you know, you may begin to cry. He said, as long as we know that it doesn't matter what is happening, it is working for our good. If you don't have that knowledge, you may begin to cry. I remember some years ago, I was working for a company. These people, for some reason, just didn't like me. I don't know why. They would transfer me from one department to the other. After 2 months, they pushed me to another place. After 2 months, they pushed me to another place. I didn't know it was working for my good. At a point, they needed somebody to head an operation there. There was nobody else, apart from the boy that has gone round. So when people are against you, as a lover of God, know that it is working for your good. It is working for my good. Somebody say, it is working for my good. Lovers of God are never losers in life. They kept pushing Isaac until they pushed him till he arrived at his rowboat. That negative circumstances is pushing you to your destiny. In the name of Jesus, what are we saying tonight? Keep loving God. Why? Because love never fails. Love is that master key to supernatural breakthrough. Somebody say love. That is the master key to supernatural breakthrough. And the summary of our Christian faith is love. How did it begin? It began with love, number one. Understand that the foundation of our faith in God began with love. It began with the love of the Father as revealed by the sacrifice of Jesus. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Not that God loved heaven. Or not that God loved himself. He loved me and you. So the foundation of our faith is love. Number two, the transforming power of that love is in the believer. Love empowers us. It transforms us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9, the Bible says, but as it is written, eyes had not seen nor ears heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So that love that God gave that brought us into Christ is the same love that empowers us to succeed where others are failing. The same love. And it is the same love, number three, that God expects us to express to the world around us. You know what? You are not a believer because you know how to fast. Your spiritual weight is not actually measured by the number of miracles that God has wrought through your hand. Your spiritual weight is measured by the love in your heart. Your love for God, your love for his kingdom, your love for humanity. That's why in that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 1 to 3, Paul was speaking there. He said, even though I can prophesy, I can do miracles. In fact, I know I have knowledge. All of those is nothing. So our spiritual weight is love measured. Do you love God? Do you love his kingdom? Do you love mankind? The greatest commandment Jesus ever made was that of love. John chapter 13, verse number 34 to 35. John 13, 34 to 35. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Remember? That you also love one another. And that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. What makes you a disciple of Jesus is not your prayer. It's the love that you have for a fellow man. Are you speaking to them about the love of God? That's what tells Christ that you are truly his disciple. But our love for God is what defines the limits of our destiny in this kingdom. Tonight, what does this love offer us? What does it offer us? Love enhances our access to visions and revelation. Love, it enhances our access to visions and revelations. And visions and revelations are God's spiritual language by which he reveals the future to us. When he shows you a thing, he wants to show you the future. Visions and revelation gives you undue advantage in life. It gives you an opportunity to partner with God. When you are in love, God reveals his plan and his purpose to his lovers. We know the story of Abraham. In Isaiah chapter 41 verse 8, the Bible calls Abraham a friend of God. God referred to a man as his friend because of the love that that man has for him. To the point when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 18 verse 17 to 19, say, how can I do this thing and not let my friend Abraham know? And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Shall I hide from him? Lovers hide nothing from themselves. When you are truly in love, there is no secret between you and your lover. Love makes you a confidant of God. Love brings about trust. And when trust is there, secrets are traded. So if you want to know the secret of God, be a lover of God. Secrets are traded when lovers get involved. All through scriptures, we have seen men and women that through this love of God, God revealed strange things to them. People like Daniel. He became the problem solver of a nation by the revelation of God to him. People like Joseph. People like Jacob. Lovers of God. Yet, God revealed his secrets to them. What are we saying tonight? God unveils his plan and purpose to his lovers. Look at Paul the apostle, a man of deep insights, a man of strange revelations because of his love for God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1, he said, now concerning spiritual gifts, I will not have you to be ignorant. In Galatians 2:2, this man said of himself, I went up by revelation. How did those revelations come? Because of his love for God. I went up by revelation. In Acts chapter 16, we saw a situation where this man, God revealed to him what his assignment will be. Acts 16 from verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. This was a vision. God was showing him, and after he had seen the vision, in verse 10, the Bible says, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. That mission came via vision that God showed to him. When you are a lover of God, God will reveal strange things to you. Moses also operated largely in visions and revelation. If you look at Genesis chapter 7, from verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have made thee a God unto Pharaoh. In verse 8 of Genesis chapter 7, Exodus chapter 7, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Exodus chapter 7, verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses. Exodus chapter 7, verse 19, and the Lord spake unto Moses. So God's secrets are revealed for his lovers. They are reserved for his lovers. They are not shared to everyone out there. Love is what graduates you from being a servant of God to a friend of God. Because friendship is built on love. In John chapter 15, verse number 15, Jesus Christ was speaking there. He said, henceforth, I call you no more servants. For servant knoweth not what his master doeth, but I called you my friend. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known. I have revealed them unto you. So love brings you into the bedroom of God. You know, there are people who will visit you. You put them in the general living room. And then there are others who will visit you. You bring them into the inner living room. And then there are others who will visit you. You tell them, come upstairs with me.
by the value of the relationship that you have with them.
Number two tonight, what does this love do for me? Love empowers us for delightsome obedience. Love empowers us for what? Delightsome obedience. How do I enjoy delightsome obedience? Or what do I do to enjoy delightsome obedience? Number one, delightsome obedience engenders generational impact. Somebody say generational impact. You know the story of Abraham very well. When God spoke to him in Genesis chapter 22 that he should take his son, his only begotten son, the one that you waited 25 years for, and go and sacrifice him unto him. He said, bring your son. And he agreed to do so in obedience of God's words. See, when lovers obey lovers, everybody else thinks they are crazy. You know, I remember when we were very young, I used to have a friend. You know, then we were thinking of having, you know, friends of the opposite sex. This boy was so in love with this girl. And then one day the girl told him, take your father's car and come and drive me to somewhere. The man obeyed because he was in love, not minding the consequences of his action. So when you are in love, you do things that others look that are stupid. Is he mad? No, he's in love. Are you understand what we're saying? So what does love do? It empowers you to delightfully obey God. That was what Abraham enjoyed. He was a delightsome, obedient servant of God because of the love that he had for God. And look at what that obedience brought to him. Genesis 22, verse 16. And then God said, by myself I have sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand of the sea which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of thy enemy. The good news is Jesus came to connect us to that generational blessing of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3 from verse 13 to 14, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ. And if you look at Psalm 112, verse 1 to 3, it says, blessed is the man that feared the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandment. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches, somebody say wealth and riches, shall be in his house, and his righteousness shall endure forever. So the rewards of that blessing transcends you. They go beyond you. That will be your testimony in the name of Jesus. What else does delightsome obedience do? Delightsome obedience opens the door to all-round breakthrough. Somebody say all-round breakthrough. Obedience grants you to the fullness of God's blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 28, from verse 1 to 13, you see all the fullness of the blessing. But there is a catch. If you are diligent to obey the word that I speak to you, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Every supernatural breakthrough in the scripture, every one of them is traceable to obedience. Look at Peter in Luke chapter 5. When he had toiled all day and caught nothing, and Jesus approached them, cast your nets into the other side. That obedience brought about his breakthrough. Look at the people at the wedding in Canaan. They had no more wine, nothing was happening, and Jesus' mother said to them, whatever he tells you to do, do it. That obedience brought about their breakthrough. There is no breakthrough in the scripture that does not come via obedience. So there's nothing you are looking for that God does not have something to tell you to do. Doesn't matter who you are. Delightsome obedience. Job chapter 36, verse 11. The Bible says, if they obey and serve him, if they obey, they shall spend their days in prosperity. Look at this scripture very well. You've heard it again. They shall spend their days in prosperity. That means obedience will take care of your now, your days. And their years in pleasure. Obedience will take care of your future, your tomorrow. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years that is to come in pleasure. So obedience takes care of you now and tomorrow. You will always be confronted with the choices of either to obey God or not. That is the reality of the life that we live. But the choice that me and you make will determine how much of God's pleasure that we enjoy. As you obey God, he will open to you all-round breakthrough in the name of Jesus. And all these blessings, Deuteronomy 28, verse number 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee. Somebody say amen. And they shall overtake thee. But he said, if is a condition, thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Number 3, what does obedience do for us? God unusually manifests himself to the obedient. When you are obedient, God manifests himself to you. In John chapter 14, verse 21, he that had my commandment, John 14:21, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And then I will manifest myself to him. So following the steps of biblical giants is what brings about obedience. We've talked about Abraham. We saw how God blessed him. You see, there is no desert position that you are in life that does not require a step of obedience for it to go away. None. The reason why so many people are faced with challenges that appear like desert experiences is because of the one form of disobedience or the other. When you stand in obedience, you can stop any devil. Let me show you a scripture here very quickly before we round up. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and from verse 3. It said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is full. Having in readiness to avenge everything the devil has taken away or stolen from you, only when your own obedience is full. So with obedience, you can quench the devil. Rise up on your feet. Lift up your voice to heaven. Magnify his holy name. Whatever challenge that are confronting you now, it will not exceed this month. In the name of Jesus, what God has put in your hand tonight, the master key to all form of breakthrough, that is the love of God. That love is expressed in saving souls, in salvation. That love is expressed in praying for souls to be established. And that is the word for the hour. God is asking me and you that he wants to visit us, but he wants us to obey his word when it comes to salvation of souls. Go out and reach out to people. Talk to them about my saving grace. Talk to them about my love. And after they have accepted my love, how my love empowers them. And that empowerment is also released for them to go out and share the same blessing. Please, you may be seated. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. If you are not connected to Jesus, you are not born again, that means you are disobedient to God. Everyone under the sound of my voice, wherever you are connected to this service, search your heart. Is Jesus in your, is there? If he's not there, ask him to come in tonight. And God will save you.
If you want to pray that prayer, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me all my sins. Today, I receive you in my heart as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, wash me clean from all unrighteousness with your blood. Write my name in the book of life. From today, I am born again. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, accept the confession of your children. Perfect all that concerns them. And let their lives glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer, kindly go to our website. Under the Salvation tab, document your name. And the church will be reaching out to you and praying for you. Hallelujah. Please put your hands together for Jesus. Make it bigger and better and louder. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to Winners Chapel International New York's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share the link with your friends and family. Visit us online at www.winnerschapelny.org and fellowship with us online on our YouTube channel, Winners Chapel International, New York. Have a blessed week. God loves you. See you next time.